You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Dad.
Laura, it is great to hear your voice. How are you today?
I know. Great to hear yours too. I am good. We are just, this is kind of funny because we're recording this before Christmas, so I'm about to get to see you, but then it'll be released after Christmas. So listeners, welcome back. I hope you had a Merry Christmas. And Dad, I can't wait to see you. It's going to be so fun.
As well, and we do want our listeners to know that we do have a birthday girl on the show today. That last Friday was Laura's birthday, and
yep.
I will not
sweet 37
move into telling you how many years it is. But happy birthday, Laura, and I hope it was a great day.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. Well, so today our topic is mindsets for God-honoring leaders. So, Dad, tell me a little bit more. What exactly is a mindset to start off with, and what does that have to do with leadership?
Well, one of the things that we think a lot about in Leadership Edge is we just think about what is it that God has built into the men and women that we've mentored, both during the time that they are being mentored, but then, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years later, what are the traits of things that we see?
Yeah.
And we began to see clearly that there are five what we call mindsets that are consistently built by God into the people that we mentor. I think a lot of it comes through the Leadership Edge mentoring experience, but some of it comes beyond Leadership Edge. And those mindsets are, there's five of them. The first one is the glory and honor of God in all things, and that is the overarching mindset of a God-honoring leader, that in all things, in life and in death, in speech and actions, that God is honored and glorified. And then the other two through five, one is humility, one is wisdom, one is intentionality, and one is resilience. And as we talk about those today, I'll give a little definition for each of them that kind of gets clear as to what we mean by each of them. But those are what we mean by mindset. But just one other thing I want to say about mindset is, you know, we talk these days a lot about character formation and how is it that character is developed in ourselves and our children and those that we work with. And I've come to believe that as values, as God brings particular values to be a part of our character, kind of a core of who we are, that if they're really there, they're going to be shown in your mindset in terms of how you think about things, how you assess things, how you understand your context, and how you make decisions in the context. So they're going to be represented in your mindset. They'll also be represented in your choices. So I can say that I'm a person who has strong integrity. But that doesn't really mean anything unless it works out in how I assess my mindset, how I think about life, my context, how I make decisions in my context, and the actual choices I make. So the thing about mindset is, along with our choices, it's the indicator of what really is our character, what really is at the core of us.
Interesting. Okay. So are you basically saying that a mindset is like a deeper level than a value? Like it's something that's actually like become part of who you are instead of just something that you would say is important? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. It's when a value has started shaping how you actually think about life.
Awesome.
So again, if you have the a value of showing respect to all people, then the way you know whether that's really a part of your character is, does it actually shape how you think through situations, how you think about life, how you think about people, and does it reflect in your choices?
Yeah, man, that's good. Well, I am really excited for this one. I have lots of questions, so I'm excited to get into it. And I'm really excited about the special guest that we have joining the conversation today. It's someone that pretty much everyone in our family has a lot of respect for. Dad, would you introduce Matt Walker and explain why you asked him to join us?
Oh, you bet. Matt Walker is a dear friend for, I guess, close to decades now. He and I met when he was a freshman at Duke University and became friends then. I got to spend some time with him. He was a part of our family at different times. Since
math
then,
tutor.
He's been a consultant. Yeah, he's been a math tutor.
You're welcome.
Which was quite an experience.
Quite.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. We should do a special podcast episode on Mr. Matthew Table. Okay, anyway,
so,
fine.
So he's been, in addition to a math tutor, he's been a consultant for a consultancy that worked on real estate and investment properties. Did that for a while and then was moved to California. And for the last 15 years has been a staff member with an amazingly wonderful Christian ministry called Young Life. And he is the regional director for the Golden Gate region of Young Life in the San Francisco area. He is married to Amy, who is a wonderful woman, just a wonderful woman. And they have two kids that I love getting to be around. So that's a little bit about Matt. Matt, anything I missed out on? And I do want to make sure, Matt, you caught that when Laura was setting this up, she said almost everyone in our family has great respect for you. So
I
there's some people
that.
In our family that you don't know about that are still wondering about who you are.
Well,
okay, wait, sorry, let me read.
I might go back to the math tutoring.
Let me say it again. Everyone.
That's
hilarious.
Funny.
Sorry.
Well, I am just overjoyed to be with you both. And I've told John before, it's hard for me to think of anything that John would ask me to do that I would not do gladly. And so I'm just happy to be here with you both.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. So I have a few questions that I'm going to ask. And I was thinking for each of these, we'd like to hear both of you answer. So, Matt, let's start off with you. And the first question is, why are these five mindsets important to you personally?
Well, this is such a great question, and I was really grateful to get to read this paper that John has put together. you know, these five mindsets, each of them, I think, are so crucial to the life and leadership of someone trying to lead a God-honoring life. But it's also so clear that they all five really hang on this first one. The mindset that the glory and honor of God is foremost in all things. And although I've been walking with Jesus in a life of faith for over 20 years now, I feel like I am learning over and over again that the kingdom of God, the values that we are invited to live into as followers of Jesus, are so antithetical to the ways of the world that we live in. And in my work in Young Life, where I work with young people, and then I work with those who work with young people, I feel like all of us are impacted by the speed, the, for lack of a better word, shallowness, the temporal nature of so much of what this world has to offer. And so fixing our eyes on the Lord is really the only antidote to so much of what ails our world, I think. And so these mindsets, they're beautifully defined by John in this paper, and I just really think that it all starts and ends with trying to see this world as through the eyes of God, and seeing this world for as upside down as it really is. I mean, we live in an upside down world, and someday it will all be made right.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of our job is to be the ones that are upside down in it, so we can point to the true reality of God's goodness and sovereignty.
Yeah, that's great, Matt. Well, and I think your perspective is valuable because, I mean, one, you work with both, you know, teens and young adults, like Dad, but it's kind of both a different age group, even slightly, and also in a different culture, like San Francisco versus Durham, North Carolina. So I think getting your perspective, and then probably also as a parent of young kids, I'm sure these are things that you're thinking about with your own kids. But I think, you know, one of the reasons that our family does have so much respect for you is I think this is the way that you live. And I think that's part of why my dad asked you to join us. So anyways, thanks for doing that. Also, one thing I wanted to touch on that you mentioned, Matt, is that there is a paper that we will be attaching as part of the show notes. So listeners, make sure to check that out. And my dad kind of fleshes all of these out a little bit more. So Dad, would you share your thoughts on this, why these five mindsets are important to you personally?
Yeah. Well, I think it's also descriptive not only of the ones who have been mentored, many of the ones who have been mentored through Leadership Edge, but in some ways it is a bit of an outline of God's sanctifying process in my life, to where I think all along he has been wanting to sink into my mind and heart that the most important thing is that he's honored and glorified, and that, you know, that the part of the Lord's Prayer that says, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that's foremost. And then I think, as Matt said, all the rest of these, as God is building them into my life, just work kind of in sequence. Like if I have that kind of mindset, then of course that's going to lead me to humility, and humility meaning just a deep dependence upon God for everything. And the Bible says that that there's a lot of linkage between humility and wisdom, and so that brings us into wisdom, just being able to assess our context according to God's word and God's character, and to act accordingly in it. And then from that, intentionality, where, you know, you begin to have just a deep belief that my life has a God-given, biblically stated purpose that God's going to empower me in, and he's going to hold me accountable for. And then the last one is resilience, where life's really hard, and there are some moments you go through in life that you could have never have imagined that you're in. And some of them are brought on by your own sin or foolishness, and some of them are brought on by other things. But just the ability to stand in adversity and failure and see it as a context in which God can restore and improve us as we trust in him and draw our strength from him and do what he calls us to do. So I think one of the reasons they're important to me personally is in some ways it's a little bit of a flow chart of how he has done his work in my life and is still doing that up until today.
Interesting. So are you saying that, like, the later ones, like resilience, for example, hinges on those others already being in place? Is that, I'm not real clear on what a flowchart is, to be honest. So is it like, like one leads to the next, leads to the next? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's kind of a logical sequence. And it's not a rigid thing. I think, you know, it's, but
there's like flow
in my
between.
Mind, these do flow one from the next.
Okay.
And yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Awesome. Well, I mean, I already have a lot of personal applications in mind with this, so this is great. So I want to get back to kind of when we were starting, you said that mindsets are different from like aspirational values. And mm-hmm. so that makes sense to me. I'm interested to hear more about how that has happened in your own lives, like to get clear on that distinction. So would each of you share how you went from being aware of even like one of these mindsets as an aspirational value to it now serving as a mindset for you? And Dad, we'll start with you this time.
Yeah, well, let's start at the end. Let's start with resilience.
Okay.
I remember one of the early mentors in my life, a man who's a pastor in Fort Worth, Texas, named Harold Bullock. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting with him one day on the banks of Lake Texoma, right on the Texas-Oklahoma border.
Okay.
And he asked me, he said, "John, how do you think I spend most of my life?" And at that time, Harold was one of the most godly men I'd ever met in my life. So I'm sitting there thinking, gosh, what's the most godly thing you could do? Is it like translating the Bible out of the Greek? Or, you know, what is like the penultimate godly thing to be doing? Because I assumed that's what Harold would be doing. And finally, I just said, "Harold, I have no idea how you spend most of your time." And he said, "I spend most of my time getting back on track." Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
You know, that's been probably 41 years ago that he said that to me.
Yeah.
But it in some ways it was a foreshadowing of a lot of my adult life, that a lot of life is about getting back on track. When you've fallen down, when you've been beaten down, when you've sinned your way down, just getting back up. And so I understood that as a concept as a young man, but God has had to continue to forge that into me through the years to where now when those moments come, I'm better able, in terms of mindset, to assess this as an opportunity in which I need to trust God and get back up by His grace. And then actually choose to do that. I would think resilience is one that I understood conceptually. I knew that it was like a nice value, and that when I looked at people like Joseph in the Old Testament, he sure exhibited that.
Yeah.
But God had to work to where that became a part of my character, to the point to where it shaped how I assessed my situations when I was knocked down or fell down or whatever down.
Yeah.
And then to choose to stand back up.
Uh-huh. So, like, with resilience or with most of these values, or, sorry, mindsets, does it primarily, I mean, I guess, what are the factors, like, I'm trying to pull from what you just said, what things happened that made it a mindset instead of just a value? So it sounds like, I mean, I guess one is like the grace of God in putting people around you who spoke into your life. So, and like then giving you the grace to do it and then just practice.
Yes.
Like, is it kind of, are those some of the factors? Or?
Well, it was modeled to me
by
many Christians and many of the Christian biographies I read and many of the Christian, you know, biblical characters.
Yeah.
So it was modeled by me. It was taught scripturally.
Uh-huh.
You know, Proverbs says that the righteous man falls down so many times, but each time he gets back up. And so I understood it both in the lives of others and conceptually.
Yeah.
And then I think the Holy Spirit began to teach me, "John, you need to choose to get back up."
Mm-hmm.
In faith and by God's grace.
Yeah.
And I saw myself beginning to do that. And I saw that as I did that, I was more of the man that God wanted me to be. And it was having a better effect than otherwise. And so I began to see the really kind of God-given value to it. And so then it began to be more and more a natural choice.
Yeah.
And a natural way for me to understand. So, Laura, does that give some clarity? And then
yeah,
I'd love
no,
to hear kind of Matt's example of
totally
one that's been important to him.
Yeah, no, that does make sense. Yeah, Matt, what are your thoughts?
Well, I want to piggyback off of something that John said that got me thinking also. One of the lines in this paper that'll be in the show notes, and John alluded to it earlier, is that a definition of mindset is perhaps a fixed mental attitude or disposition that predetermines a person's responses to and interpretations of situations. And that has been helpful to me since I read this. Thinking about the difference between a mindset and a value is a value is something that I can hold out there and strive for. A mindset is something that actually comes from a rewiring of my insides to, in this context, be aligned with the Holy Spirit and the sanctifying work that the Lord is doing to make me more like Jesus. And so with resilience, you know, there was an October morning in 2007 when John was my first phone call when I was in the darkest, saddest moment of my life. And John walked with me over the next months and years and helped me stand up under it and realize that God's grace plus time sure do heal a lot of things, a lot of wounds. And so, to your question, Laura, of something that happened in my life, resilience would always have been a value that I would have aspired to, but getting through that season of my life, that shifted resilience from a value to a mindset, because I really believe in my core that God doesn't waste our pain. And so when painful things come along, don't run from them. Sit at least for a while and wait to see what God might be doing. See, that's a response that I have learned through life, really. And but it's not easy. I mean, I hesitate to say that it's a locked-in mindset for me, because another mentor in my life I was talking to about 5 years ago and just explaining how hard things were because we had babies that weren't sleeping. And I said, I don't know, we got to figure out how to make this work better. And he looked at me and he said, or Matt, it's just supposed to be hard right now. And I thought, oh man, maybe it is just supposed to be hard right now. So that's sort of a shift to a mindset. And I think of the mindset that stands out to me with your original question, Laura, is intentionality. I remember walking through life with your dad, with John, in college, and at one point he said to me, Matt, everyone loves a clown, but nobody wants to follow him.
Ouch.
I'm sure he wasn't talking about me. I'm sure he was talking about something we were both observing. And actually, I've got all kinds of Hawkinsisms. Another thing he said to me is that, Matt, a mature person says what he means and means what he says. And again, I'm sure that had nothing to do with me either. But I think both of those things sort of get to this mindset of intentionality. A clown is fun because he actually makes you forget about the moment you're living in, perhaps. And then a mature person is intentional with their words. I mean, those two things, I think, are part of what John was saying. And so it makes me think of how through the years, as I study the person of Jesus, I see in him someone who is perfectly present and perfectly intentional in every moment. You see how uniquely he responds and speaks to people in different contexts, perfectly meeting them where they are. And, you know, this could almost be like a crushing burden if it weren't for God's grace, but to think that I'm put in every moment in the sovereignty of God for that moment. And it might be for me to serve or offer something, or it could be for me to be shaped or to learn something. And so I just think how I had a friend over a few nights ago, and we were sitting in my hot tub and drinking a beer. Can I say that on this podcast, that we were drinking a beer?
I thought you were worried about the hot tub.
Oh, yeah, that could be weird, too. This is not a Young Life kid. I should make that clear. but I had a friend over, and we were just having a casual conversation about what his last couple years have been like. And this is a wonderful friend who's been walking with the Lord for a long time. And we were talking about God's sovereignty. And then a few minutes later, we started talking about some of his angst that he's feeling in a few different areas of life. And it just occurred to me, and I said to him, Mike, I believe that you believe in the sovereignty of God. What I'm not sure you are feeling yet is that you can actually trust him.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
And, you know, just like that, it's just an example where because I have come to really want to live with intentionality, I responded in that moment a little differently.
Yeah.
Than just continuing a casual conversation over a beer.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot from what you just said that is sticking out to me. Like, one thing, the phrase that you use, I can't remember if you said this was actually in the paper or it's your own phrase, but that it's like a rewiring of who we actually are. And so some of the factors that you like mentioned are like that takes time for us to be rewired to be more like Christ. It takes a lot of times pain for us to, you know, for it to really go deep. Like, I know for me, the deep change comes when I see like the pain of saying the same, you know, so like pain. And what are some of the other things you said, like that just trusting God, you know, that for us to really be rewired, we have to trust God instead of resisting the process. I mean, man, there was so much that's really helpful.
And something that's been helpful to me along the way, and John has encouraged me in this ever since I sort of left his tutelage in Durham, and he said I should just always have a mentor in my life. And I think that's a big part of my journey, is I have always had mentors because I need someone to look to that is different than who the world is pointing me to look to.
Yeah.
And that has slowly rewired me through the years as I start to see beauty in places where the world would never see it. And I start to see that real wisdom, I don't think will ever be recognized in worldly terms.
And is that, like, is the benefit of a mentor in that, is that they can give you a perspective that is different than your,
Yeah, that's right. And kind of just remind me that they're, I think one thing that mentors are helpful for me is they remind me of the long view, that what I'm feeling and thinking right now is just that. It's what I'm feeling and thinking right now. But most mentors who are ahead of me in years can say, it's not going to always feel this way, and you're not going to always think this way, Matt. Give yourself time to process this. Just something like that.
Yeah. Man, it's good. Okay, well, let's move on. I feel like I could plumb that even further. But, both of you spend a lot of time developing next generation leaders, as we've already kind of touched on. So, what are the opportunities and the challenges that you see in their development of these mindsets? So again, I'll go through them and say them again. The honor and glory of God in all things, wisdom, humility, intentionality, and resilience. So what are the opportunities? What are their challenges? And then how do you help them grow in these? Mm. And I'll shoot this one back to Dad. Dad, why don't you start off?
Okay. Well, I think that if we're especially saying next generation leaders who are Christians, I think that mm-hmm. even if they are Christians, even if they are, you know, evangelical Christians, they are still very much in process of understanding that the most important thing in life is the honor and glory of God in all things. Mm-hmm. And kind of linked to that, humility mm-hmm. that is not picking themselves apart or talking about how sinful or broken they are, but mm-hmm. humility that is in touch with their dependence upon God for everything. You know, in John 15, where it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so I think that as we can come alongside next generation leaders mm-hmm. and in small little nudges, just bring about the awareness of these two values, honor and glory of God in mm-hmm. all things, and humility.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can model them both in ways that we live it out, and then being honest in ways that we don't live it out. Mm-hmm. As we can point them to scripture that would encourage mm-hmm. them in this, as we can help them when they ask us for guidance on decisions to use these as mm-hmm. as ways to think through how they would make decisions. Mm-hmm. Just as we can do those little things that help this from being either something they're unaware of or they're aware of, but that's about as far as it is, to where it begins to be full of life for them and they begin to see that really is the person that I long to become.
Yeah.
You know, a person who lives for the honor and glory of God in all things, and the person who is humble before the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I think that in that, we certainly, you know, maybe the most important thing is just prayer. You know, mm-hmm. just praying for God to establish the reality of these values, but then for Him to be sinking them into their character and that working out in their mindset and in their choices.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I would start. I think that, you know, we talk about millennials or whatever generation this is. I don't know that this generation is any harder for them to understand these two as it was for my generation or any others. I mm-hmm. think it's kind of counterintuitive for my generation, and I think it is for this one. So
yeah.
I think that's where I would start, Laura. But so, I'd love to know what Matt would throw on, or do you want to ask a follow-up on
that? So a couple of things that I picked up from what you're saying is, like, helping them grow through, like, modeling these, talking about these, like, sharing your own experience, both positive and negative. And then mm-hmm. one thing that you hit on that I think is really important, and you've talked to me a lot about this, is just praying and asking God to mm-hmm. like change hearts. Mm-hmm. So that's my takeaway from what you said. Yeah, Matt, what are your mm-hmm. thoughts?
Well, as you said earlier, my context here in San Francisco is different than John's in Durham. Every context is unique, of course. So here in my context, the Bay Area is 5% church going, mm-hmm. and that number is shrinking. Mm-hmm. And that means the young people that I work with are growing up in a world where the messages and the hope of Jesus are an even dimmer voice than when I was growing up. Uh-huh. And so I think that means that those of us who are a few steps ahead, our lives need to speak even louder than they ever have before to the goodness and beauty of a life with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I get very concerned from both a Christian perspective, but also a non-religious perspective about the ability for young people, or even my age people, to think critically about the world around us.
Yeah.
I get concerned about this, and I see universities moving away from kind of liberal arts studies, and there are very practical and some good reasons that some of them are doing that. But I also just think of how we process news and new information.
Uh-huh.
Today's mind is inundated by so many short bursts of loud thought.
Yeah.
And so I have a concern for Christian and non-Christian people about wisdom mm-hmm. in today's world. I mean, really thinking through the long-term implications of what today's decisions make.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, so, I mean, this generation of young people today are the first native digital generation. And we've uh-huh. seen a lot of press on that. And that's a lot different than how I grew up, and even different than how you grew up, Laura, actually.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's gone so far the other way that in my kids' schools, there is a movement, it's called Wait Till Eighth, to not give smartphones to kids until they're in eighth grade.
Oh, really? Wow.
But I think that, and that's not all bad, I'm not a doomsday-oriented person on technology,
yeah.
but I do just think the world that young people are living in is the most curated world that humans have ever lived in.
Yeah.
That anyone can project only what they want to project mm-hmm. because so many relationships exist only on the internet. I saw a headline the other day of someone who asked an online friend to be his best man in his wedding, and they'd never even met face to face. They met at the wedding.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, in Romans 12, Paul talks about our bodies as living sacrifices. And then he says, but not just our body, but don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but mm-hmm. be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is.
Yes.
And so this is where I would just piggyback off of what you and John said, Laura, to say that it's never been more crucial to spend time before the Lord in prayer and in Scripture,
mm-hmm.
because our world has changed and is rapidly changing, but the truth of God and the words of God in Scripture never have and never will.
Yes.
Hmm.
And what a beautiful gift that is to the dynamic and sometimes damaging world that our young people are navigating right now.
Yeah. Man, that's really good. Well, and with what you were saying about kids and, yeah, like critical thinking. And I mean, really, I even can see, I struggle with this probably even more than I did. You know, I mean, there's mm-hmm. just, it's just such a rapid fire environment. But something you said earlier when you were talking about people who said to you, Matt, like the way you see things right now or the way you feel about things right now isn't how you'll always think and feel about it. Mm-hmm. And kind of also linking to what you said about like time mm-hmm. and how like so many things shift, but you're saying like God doesn't shift, Scripture doesn't shift.
Yeah.
So the importance of aligning with that, that's really good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the last question that I have for you guys is, what difference do these mindsets really make in a God-honoring leader? Which I guess this is kind of, I mean, in some ways obvious, but I guess specifically, like, what are the differences that both of you see? Matt, we'll start with you this time.
Okay.
And I guess, actually, let me add on to that. What differences have these mindsets made in your life? And, I mean, I guess, kind of, what do you see being at stake with the next generation? So any or all of that, mm-hmm. we want to hear what you think.
You know, I think that growing into these mindsets has really brought me a deep inner and outer peace, like an inner peace with myself. I am harder to disrupt because I respond and process the world differently than I used to. And a greater peace with the world, because at the same time, I sure have grown to have a lot more grace and understanding and heartbrokenness for the world that I think is really hurting, and has actually, by the way, always been hurting. It's just I am seeing it more and more clearly as the years go by. And so this Sunday, my family and I went to First Baptist Church of San Francisco, where we had a goodbye service for our senior pastor and a luncheon afterwards. And it was the most beautiful ministry goodbye I've ever seen. This young man, he's only 35 years old.
The
church called him to be pastor when he was 26. And he grew up in the South, went to seminary in the Bay Area, and fell in love with this church body, which is the most diverse church in San Francisco, which is one of the most diverse cities in the country. But he led us so well. And I think, I would say, and I'm sure he would say, there was nothing in his kind of toolbox that made him, he had no stellar talents or novelty about his leadership. He just pointed us to Jesus week in, week out for 9 years. And then he got a call to lead the church that he grew up in back in his hometown, which is a church of thousands, our little church of 250. And so he was such a humble leader for all of us, never pointing to himself. And so he and his wife, at the end of the service, they offered communion, just the two of them, to everybody. So everybody kind of lined up to walk through and take the cup and the bread from he and his wife, which was just a complete tear fest and for them. But I watched that line of people, and we're right near the Tenderloin in San Francisco. So there were homeless people that this couple had gotten to know that were in tears to see them go. There were people of every age and race. There were rich, there were poor with us for a long time, all in tears at his leadership. But at the same time, we were all so grateful to let him go and be a blessing to somebody else. He left our church better, and we know that he will go make another church better. And so I just think, man, what a picture of a God-honoring leader. And wouldn't it be amazing if all of us could leave whatever post God has us at for now with a situation like that, where we're leaving it a better place and they're sending us out to a better place. It was just wonderful.
Yeah. Man, that's good. Thanks, Matt. Dad, what are your thoughts on this one?
You know, I don't know that I'm going to add much. I think this story that Matt just told was quite a good summary. I think the only thought I would add is just that as we grow to live for God, to be honored and glorified in all things, as we grow towards humility and wisdom and intentionality and resilience, I think what God does in that is it shapes the kind of impact that he's going to have through us in the different places that we're in. And I think that's one of the reasons it's important. So I know we're a little over on time, and so I'll just leave that as my answer, but sure appreciate Matt's story.
Yeah, Matt, thank you. Well, and I think my takeaways from this, I mean, both of you guys touched on this so many times, but just that it all hinges on the glory of God in all things. And so just asking, like praying and asking God to help make that, you know, kind of the focal point. And just kind of the idea of this is going to be like a deep rewiring that takes time. Dad, the thing that you said, and I've heard you tell this story about Harold before, but just getting back on track and trusting God. I mean, there are just a lot of things that you both mentioned that I think, I guess my big takeaway is it's just really encouraging to see that over time as we, you know, ask God for help and seek to trust Him, that He's going to use the all of the things, good and hard, to reshape us into the person that He wants us to be. So this is just a really encouraging one. Thanks, both of you. Dad, do you have, you want to finish us off for the day?
Yeah, just a couple of last thoughts. We hope that the podcast today on mindsets, and especially Matt Walker being with us, who in my mind just exemplifies each one of these five, hope it's been of encouragement to you. We do look forward to you sharing the document on mindsets of God-honoring leaders as part of the show notes. And just want to remind you that the personal vision of Leadership Edge is by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. And we encourage you to join with us in living out that vision and working with the Lord by His grace to develop the kind of character, mindset, and choices that He has in mind for us. Just want to remind you that we are a nonprofit organization, and we're always looking for new and additional funding. So if you have any interest in joining with us financially, you can go to our website, www.lead-edge.com. And in the top right-hand corner, you'll see a donate button that you can make a donation at. So, Matt, just thank you again for sharing this time,
Matt,
with us.
And absolutely.
Laura, thank you so much for your coordination of this.
Oh, yeah. And listeners, thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.